Blog Talk Radio.
And thank you so much for joining me. My name is Shelley Caldwell, and I'm your host today. This is our second week out of the gate with our new network, the We Speak Radio Network, and we're excited about the changes we're about to enter into for 2012. So we're closing this year out with a bang, and we're going to start the new year with even a greater impact on the community. Thank you all so much for listening. Today is a show that we're going to just open it up, and I've tried my best today to gather in all the comments, the dialogue, the perspectives, your opinions about what's going on in the news this week. And I'm excited, and of course, I believe you depend on me, and I depend on you to bring in a lot of interesting topics that you feel like are worth giving some air to, some voice to, giving wind to it across the airways here on the Internet Blog Talk Radio show. And so I'm excited about what we're about to talk about tonight, because I feel like it is needed. Of course, a lot of us have not only been following the news, even if you don't watch the news on television, by now, I believe by today, being Thursday, you've kept up on your Twitter and your Facebook, and somewhere in social media, you've heard the word, you've seen it on the streets, and you've been hearing about it everywhere you go, and even probably on your jobs. And so we're going to talk about not necessarily the names that are in the news, but we are going to talk about the moral obligations and some of the principles and a deeper perspective as to what really happens with our responses as a community, as a family, whether you're black, you're white, no matter what culture, race you are. I believe that what we've got to talk about today is something that goes deeper than just the individual persons who happen to be in the news, specifically Herman Cain as a political candidate for the presidential race, and also Coach Sandusky from Penn State, and of course Joe Paterno, lovingly known as Joe Pop, there on campus. I have some friends that go to Penn State and are alumni there as well, and I've been trying to contact them, and of course you all know that that could probably be a task for me the rest of the week, because I can't imagine their phones are ringing off the hook, their Twitter is jumping off the hook, so we're going to keep trying to reach them and see if we can really get some insight from some of my personal friends who are alum there, who are there in the area also. But we're going to just bring it to you tonight. I have tried to do my due diligence here. A lot of people, of course, you're commuting in, and I appreciate your follow-up. But you said, Shelley, hey, we need a dialogue about this, because I try to provoke some thought on Facebook, and that's one thing I think I'm almost known for. So I'm going to bring it to you the way I brought it last night and the way we've still been talking about it. today even. And, of course, the case is going to be something that's going to be heard even beyond this year, well into next year, and probably even further beyond that. But we're going to talk about this from a perspective that, again, I believe we need to really give some attention to. Not that it hasn't gotten enough attention, but it's a matter, like I said, at this point, where we stand as a community and as a family, our human right and some of our obligations, one to another, just to the human race and to the things that we really need to just really give more wind to. And one of my goals tonight is to, I believe, keep not necessarily a badgering, but to keep position to where we are coming into a place to where we're standing up and taking some accountability. And I believe, as you all know, that communication is the key. And one thing about the goal and the mission for what I do in the We Speak Association, whether I'm dealing on the corporate level or the educational level or even the ministry level, I believe a lot of what we're seeing is due to a lack of communication with our kids, with our spouses, with our families, on the jobs, lack of communication when it comes to really standing up for the next man, your brother and your sister, and being that person's keeper, whether you're related close to them or not through association. I believe that a lot of this comes from just a human, a sincere human sense of taking care of the next man and your neighbor and loving your neighbor as you would yourself. If it was your child, if it was your sister or your cousin or your brother, being offended, victimized, or trespassed in any situation. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off tonight. Again, like I said, I want to thank all of you who have supported me. We have picked up Twitter there. At, you can follow us on Twitter at We Speak Radio. And you can comment also on Facebook, which you all have already done such a great job. You've done a great job already by commenting on Facebook. And our Twitter is new, so we're just getting that up. And I'm following some other, some news journalists and people who are reporters there, so I'm going to share some of their comments with you as well that I feel like matter. But on Facebook, we have a We Speak Radio Network page where all the dialogue from Blog Talk Radio, if you can't listen to the show at any time, we want to inform you that even now while we're live, even if it's before or after, but even during the live show, if you can log on to Facebook and you want to make a comment even while we're on live, we'll be checking. I'm logged in now. All my social media is up and running right now. We're logged in, and we'll be taking your comments and sharing them anonymously, of course, for your protection if you choose for us to do so. But that's what we're going to do, to, of course, just share the statement and provoke some thought in the dialogue. And as well, we want to welcome you all here live in the chat room. Thank you all so much for joining us in the chat room as you come in and out. And we want to, again, just appreciate my sister, Kimberly Skeen, who is joining us here as a new reporter, quote-unquote, if you will, who's going to be having her own show starting. And we appreciate those of you who joined us such an awesome, awesome first show launch last Friday on Chasing the Call. And that archive is available. Chasing the Call was her first show, and you'll be hearing from her weekly. But this week she had to just really recover from the overwhelming response, and it was a great response too. So let's jump right in here. Of course, let's start off with, I want to just start off with the older news, if you will, at this point, the Herman Cain situation, talking about sexual harassment. And, of course, we know that was supposedly the fourth person who had come out, and the young lady who came out, of course, was the person who supposedly took up an advocacy stand, if you will, she felt like, I guess, she was a drum major for all the other women who were going to be bold enough, and maybe even at some point, I'd like to think she felt like she could afford it. The attorney that she had gotten has a reputation, of course, and I believe she did what she wanted to do in getting the best representation. Of course, the attorney's reputation does not precede her well because they say she is an advocate for women and she tends to nitpick and pull on the heartstrings of the people, in particular in cases as such, to exploit them rather than really do them justice. But with that, I wanted to know, is it ever a case where men actually have an option themselves to file a sexual harassment suit? What about that? I mean, for me, as I sat and I looked at it and I really, I don't know, my heart went out, of course, to the I believe her name was Balecki. But, you know, my goal to really sit back and examine the thing was I wanted to know why she felt like if she needed to come out, then at what point would it have been that he could have just really misunderstood what she was saying? Or as a man who, for whatever reason, would even be looking for some type of miscommunicated gesture, you know, or motion from her that he might have made a move. All of this stuff could, of course, you know, be talked about, assumed, and or presumed, because no one was there, of course, except them, and you can't really talk about it. You weren't there. You don't know when. You don't know where. We just hear, you know, her side of the story. And, of course, Kane comes back with the statement that it's fabricated, totally fabricated. And with those allegations, you know, all he can do is keep running and focusing on the issues that matter in the candidacy and his, you know, as he runs on his campaign trail. So let's think about this. Is this something that you feel is a one-sided? I don't know if it's a double standard necessarily, but it's definitely probably something that's one-sided. Because if a man could file a sexual harassment suit, I believe they would. And I shared on Facebook, I stated, and this was, of course, on Monday, like I said, we're going to start with the older topic. My statement said, can a woman be charged with sexual harassment? Think about it. Women are just as aggressive at whispering compliments and desired sexual favors to men in both the workplace and in the church, no. Or is this just another double standard? Do men consider it as a pride and an ego booster to have women bite at or make banter at him? Versus when a woman who we tend to feel like pieces of meat when it happens to us. And one of my friends on Facebook, she came back, and we did really talk about this. There were 11 comments on here that really came back in response, and it was something that I felt like could have gone on, a conversation could have gone on continually. But the reason I wanted to share it today is you find that the sexual harassment and the abuse, they're the same, and they're not gender specific. And one of the friends in particular, he said it is all classified as bad behavior and sin. Getting into the who's right and the who's wrong gender battle really does not deal with the problem. It's really more about the lack of love for oneself. And that gentleman in particular, I really honor and esteem him. He's right here in Georgia, and he is absolutely right. It does not matter, and it should not matter. However, it is still something that I wanted to talk about and wanted to know, because for me, we hold ourselves, at one time we did, and I believe it was way back when now, we held ourselves to a position to where women were known or kind of disassociated, if you will, and set aside if they were trying to be aggressive sexually towards a man in corporate America. And most likely in our minds, we would judge that person as trying to sleep their way up the chain. Well, in this Herman Cain case, that was almost what was taking place, because her statement said that he, you know, questioned her right up front after she said, "What are you doing?" And the offense actually took place, the gestures took place with grabbing her head and so forth. And it was like, "You want a job, right?" You know, so that's nothing new. People or men thinking and assuming that women want to sleep their way in for favors. I mean, that's old news. They make movies about it. We sit in a movie theater and support this type of storyline. Well, and both black and white producers, for that matter, because Tyler Perry actually did a movie with the same storyline, if you will, himself here just recently, a couple of years ago. But, again, where are the men who could possibly file a sexual harassment suit against women who do what they do instead of just letting it lay low, fall to the side, and go ignored? I mean, we really have to look at if the tables were turned, then what would that say about us as women? So with that, again, I know for me it matters, because I'm not a one-sided person. I love digging out the issues, but I also love digging out the truth, because I want to look at how we feel if the shoe was on the other foot, and I tend to stand by that. I actually handle conflict that way when it comes to resolving conflict, because for me, we fail to communicate where we have an open avenue of really considering, you know, how do you feel? If it was you, how do you feel? If you said what I said to you and vice versa, then what would be your response? I think we would not fly off the handle as much if we did indeed always look a shoe on the other foot. And so with that, you know, we can go on, and I know they were saying that, of course, the woman could have come out of the woodwork or whatever the case is. The question is whether this was a flaw in his character or someone else just really trying to run a job on the system and get money out of it and publicity. And, of course, that was also brought up in, and I'm sure they probably could not resist it. One of the mediators on the I can't remember what city they were in, but the most recent debate, the mediator, she was booed, actually, and I've been keeping up. I'm watching, like, three computer screens at one time and a television, so I forget who that was, but the lady who was on the mediator panel, she actually asked a question. Of course it was going to come up, and was booed in the debate just the other night. And so with that, I'm grateful that they were able to stay focused and kind of reroute and get back on topic with that as well about Cain's character and his judgment. And she posed, I think the question was just fine, because, again, we hold so many other corporate people up to character and judgment standards. The question is, why would we elect a president with less, you know, of integrity and character riding behind his reputation in this situation? What changes that? Why does it change, or the degree of, you know, repercussion, why does it decrease when it's a politician? Why would we be even allowing you to run? Why would we even allow you to continue to run and think you're going to be a president if you already have questionable character? And so with that, it went on and on. But nevertheless, I just feel like I was already in a position to sit back and say, well, what is there to say about what he may or may not do because he thinks it's just okay, you know, if he wants to flirt? And if he does get in the White House, I remember seeing one of the Facebook comments that came back, and funny enough, they were reading it. I'm not sure if it was Wolf Blitzer or who it was on CNN, but someone did say that, and I think it was a sarcastic remark. But, you know, he was saying, just wait, if he did get into the White House, you know, the interns need to watch out. Funny enough, but it's sad, but it could very well be true. And so with that, I can imagine that men, and that was my response again on Facebook, where I can imagine that a man who says that they are getting any unwelcome comments of such from anyone in particular, woman in particular, what do you think the next thought would be in the minds of these judgmental people? You know, would they really even admit that they were unwelcome? And at this point, surely not. But I want to throw a monkey wrench in here, and we're going to move on to the next topic, and we're going to take a break. Of course, I'm just doing this show, just bringing in all of the vent and the actual responses that we've gotten. But the key for me, I think, that moved further into a more current issue and a more, I feel like, a sadder issue, actually, but it's relevant, is what happens when you have now a homosexual advance in corporate America. Think about it. We do have, and it has been reported, where homosexual advances have taken place in the workplace, and now you still have opportunity to either report it, stand up against it, or at least just say something, because you're going to be faced with at some point a homosexual advance by someone who, of course, may be attracted to you. And whether you're attracted or not, if you feel offended by that and it's a continued, ongoing, unwanted advance, you've got to be prepared to figure out whether you want to be able to go through the publicity piece of and the legal, I feel like, chain of authority to address that and make a claim or not. Or do you just go on ignoring it and hoping that it stops? So that's something else that we also have to be very careful about, because, again, that's both men and women. And so with that, we move on, and you have to, again, consider whether you want to be a judge of character. And in being a judge of character, like I said, we can't keep treating this as if it's new and just coming up into the light. It's not. As far as our politicians, we know our presidents have gone way back you know, with all kinds of impeachment processes. I mean, it never fails to me. Something goes on, and whether it gets uncovered and or ever comes to a place to where the public has to make judgment, I think our goal at this point is to decide whether or not we are ever going to really hold their feet to the fire and call them to task on their past and their history of whatever, you know, sexual promiscuities that have occurred. And so with that, I did some research. I took my time to actually look at it because, again, I made a comment that kind of marched a long way on Facebook, and it was interesting to me to see this article in particular, and it was actually two or three articles out there. And so let's shift our train of thought a little bit. Why is it on a parallel thought now? Let's go on a parallel track. Think back to the Catholic Church and all the past churches from all religions in the last 5 years or more, for that matter, that have been coming out in the news about sex scandals and child victims. How many of them have been fired, removed, and sent through court with the possibility of facing jail time and charges or any legal actions? Now, I stand corrected, and I did make that disclaimer. I stand corrected if they have. But I can't recall anything except continued media slander, continued parties that will come in just to get some money, which was funny enough, by the time I had typed up this comment, a story just broke yesterday. Now, this actually happened yesterday. By the time I typed this comment on Facebook, I'm looking at the local 5:30, 6 o'clock news, and lo and behold, someone else had just made our local, I believe it was Channel 5 News, as coming out of the woodworks on Bishop Eddie Long and was awarded $94,149.81. And this was the first amount that seemingly made it out in the open but was not a part of the case. Now, that, of course, can be found on TV, on the Internet. It's public record because the news aired it. But to me, again, he had two witnesses, even as friends, whether they were credible or not, that was saying he just made it up, got his story together, came sashaying into town, and lo and behold, came into town, went to a medical center, checked himself in, made a statement that he had been abused so many years ago, and that's why he was aggravated suicide, but attempting suicide. And so he checked himself in, and 2 days later told them to check him back out. I mean, really, our pastors are going through enough as it is. Our politicians, they do have a lot of pressure on them. If you're not a politician, I don't want to hear it about, you know, why they do or why they don't, why they will or why they won't. One thing we've got to remember is that there are pressures once you get in those positions. And we do not remove them. They have authority over our lives when it comes to us submitting to whatever position they're in. We expect them to protect us. And lo and behold, we will let something like this slide. We will let them stay in office. We will let them stay in their pulpit and in their churches. I don't care if it's Catholic and you have a governing body process to go through. Whatever the case is, if you're a small church on the next corner, I'm telling you, we do not hold pastors and politicians to the same standard as we have, as I segue into this Joe Paterno case with Coach Sandusky and the whole tell all, tell some, make a move, don't make a move, try to figure out what's the right thing to do. I mean, seriously, we've got to calm a little bit better than we are as a legal system. I'm not going to call it a justice system, because by no means here in the United States do we ever see justice fully served and rightfully served. But with that, we have got to make up our mind as to whether we're going to hold up our standards and come to a place where people who are in authority, are they held liable just as much? But you turn on the next day of news, you're going to see where a school teacher barely making a dime as it is, and they have a, you know, situation go on, they're totally fired and they're out of a job and they don't know what else to do with themselves. You know, so come on, America. We've got to do a little bit better. And so with that, I looked on the Internet and here's this article, and this article talks about the 12 biggest Christian evangelist sex scandals. Well, lo and behold, there were, I think, two more articles as I'm looking here. It was actually two more articles going back as far as, let's see, these scandals went back as far as, I'm going to pull the year up for you, 2006, Paul Barnes, and in 2006, of course, that was something that I don't recall that one, and I did look at it, but I did not recall it. And then if the other ones did not actually set a date, I did see one that, again, I do vaguely remember in 2004. So that's the oldest one in this article in particular. And it was on justproveit.com, and it was the blog that I found. And it, the blog itself was written here recently, March 2011. But the compilation of the top 12 biggest Christian evangelist sex scandals of the 21st century went all the way back again down to, again, like I said, I believe this 2004 gentleman who, Douglas Goodman, Pastor Douglas Goodman of Victory Christian Center. Let's see, do they say his city? His city is not stated on here, but it was in 2004. And it, although it does say that he was jailed for 3.5 years after he had sexually assaulted his members, it still says, don't worry, he is still preaching. So he did serve time here or there. But again, where are we when we really get a consistent standard, a consistent law, a consistent principle by which we're going to make them walk and answer to? And that's what's getting me. If you have the money, you can pay your way out. Maybe that's the way it goes. It comes with the territory. I guess I don't know. But, hey, so much for that. The point is that they have a list here, and in that top 12, you're talking about Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard was the former leader of the National Association of Evangelicals. And then we have George Allen Records. And then number three was Lonnie Latham, male prostitution. Number four, Earl Park, right here out of Georgia. Eddie Long came in on number five. Number six was Joe Barron. Number seven was Douglas Goodman, as I just mentioned. Number eight, Nathan Brown. Number nine, Coy Privet. Number 10, Paul Barnes. Number 11, Michael Reed. And number 12 was Paul Crouch of TBN. You know, but again, like I said, this stuff isn't new. It didn't just start yesterday. But the sad part about it is we are doing different things for different people, and I just don't think that it's fair. So we're going to take a break again. Thank you all so much for joining me in the chat room. Thank you all for listening in on the phone lines. Thank you all for, again, your Twitter responses and following me there on Twitter at We Speak Radio. And I'm telling you, the Facebook dialogue never stops. It's interesting, and I appreciate the support there. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to take a breather, and I'm going to continue sharing some comments, some articles, a lot of research that I've done. And, of course, we're going to talk about the breaking news that came out a couple of hours ago, and I believe it was about 3:30 or so on CNN that we just heard about on the Penn State scandal that was a conflict now of the decisions that they made to fire Joe Paterno, the head coach there. So we'll be back as a new issue has come up to be now public news because they feel like they've had to compromise, I'm assuming, on the football game, which is this weekend for Penn State. So stick and stay. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back again at the We Speak Radio Network Blog Talk Radio Show. And again, thank you all so much for listening today. The response is overwhelming. The chat room, a lot of you have been in and out of the chat room, and I appreciate it. Thanks to all of my guests who are logging in and to my phone lines. My goodness, the response is overwhelming. If you want to log in and share your quick comments, only 2 to 3 minutes per caller, please. If you want to press 1 on your phone line, please do so. Again, if you want to talk about any of the moral issues that are underlying the situations and the issues in our news this week, whether it's about the sexual harassment case with Herman Cain and or whether it is about the sexual case against the coaches there, the coach Sandusky there at Penn State, and or the firing of Joe Paterno, please press 1. Press 1 on your phone line, and we'll get right to you and let you share your comments, and we certainly welcome them. Again, if you were listening the first half, and again, of course, we've got to remember Twitter. Twitter is blowing up. People are having some hot conversations out there, and that's, again, why I did this show. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. I'm going to kind of assess and judge the feedback on the show tonight and see if we're going to do it for 30 minutes or 1 hour tomorrow. But with that, what we want you to do is, again, say what you want to say to me on Twitter. Hey, tweet with me on Twitter, at We Speak Radio. Or you can join us on Facebook. We are glad to have you there with the comments on the wall at the We Speak Radio Network page. Like the page and just have at it and say what you want to say about the topics. The first half, as you heard, and I saw some new callers are just coming in on the line. We appreciate you there, North Carolina and Florida, and, of course, Georgia. Here's some of our followers. We appreciate your commitment to the show and our new changes coming in. But the first half, we asked a question. Do men really even take thought to file a sexual harassment lawsuit themselves against women who make advances to them, unwanted sexual advances to them in the workplace? Or is it just something that is a male pride and male ego issue that they feel like, hey, she's after me, man. She wants me, you know. Check out little Susie Q over there. She keeps coming at me. I mean, why is it such a, you know, a one-sided thing here where women, we feel like a piece of meat and feel like, you know, we're trashed out and we're whores or whatever you want to put on the women when we have to put up with a man who is giving us unwanted sexual advances. And then if we push it off, how dare we even think we have to deal with the backlash of even being questioned. And, of course, it's only in this day and age where we have to be questioned as to whether we're gay and maybe don't even want a man or interested in him just because we want to stand up for ourselves and give some respect to who we are by not wanting such an unwanted sexual advance or somebody coming after us, giving us banter, you know, and chatter about, you know, our bodies or what they want to do to us. I mean, really? I mean, think about that. But, of course, you've got a few bad apples in every barrel, and they're going to sleep their way up the ladder. They're going to do what they want to do and say what they want to say, and don't be friends with them in the workplace. You may be the one who's suspected to even think that you should do it, too, if your friend is doing it. You know, so we could go on with that conversation. We're going to shift gears now and go to the Penn State topic, and we're going to talk about some of the ins and outs and ups and downs that's going on with it. Again, this is just a show to vent, to listen, to talk about it on whatever social media platform you choose. I welcome your comments, and I'm telling you what, I feel like I did get some sleep, but to me, having this connection through all my social media platforms is interesting, and I love it. I don't know what I'd do without you all coming back. You know, I'm going to say something in left field most times to provoke thought, but we definitely want to get in if you have something to say about, no matter what it is. Of course, we don't want to come on with any vulgar comments and anything that's really harsh by any means, because everything right now are all things that are still pending in the courts. But let's make sure we give ourselves a voice because it needs to be heard. And so over on Twitter, well, let's start with this latest breaking news, like I said, a couple of hours ago. And I'm going to get back to you here. We'll go to Twitter in a minute. But one of the latest pieces of news that came out was this gentleman, the assistant coach, actually, who was the actual person who witnessed and I believe his name was Mike, and I'm trying not to mess up his last name. I have it here. Give me a second. What was his name? Mike McQuarrie. He was 28 at the time. He is currently the assistant coach there, and they just started talking about, like I said, it might have been 4:30 or 5 o'clock. They started talking about Mike McQuarrie at Penn State, who is the one who saw the 10-year-old victim. But guess what? Mike is the one who went to Coach Joe Paterno. Well, if he saw it, is he not liable to have gone to the police himself? He did not. He went to his father. His father said, go to Joe Pa. And when he goes to Joe Pa goes to his authorities who are over him at the school, which is the president. And so the story that just came out, and, of course, they're probably going to be talking about that all night as the students, of course, are sounding off there on CNN. And I believe I was speaking with another friend of mine also, and we were saying how, again, the laws and the statutes are different in every state. But, again, does it matter with who tells it? And when they tell it, who they should have told in response to that. Do you go up your chain of command or do you just go straight to your local police? Well, Mike McQuarrie, of course, his father made a statement saying, well, you know, he was in such a shock. He did what he thought he should have done at the age of 28. Well, you didn't say he was at the age of 18 and a student assistant. He was 28. I think you well know what you should be doing. I don't care how much shock you're in. But, again, that's to be debated. But they are keeping him on for the game on Saturday. He will be acting now as the interim coach for the Saturday game. Well, why couldn't Joe Paterno just simply finish his at least the game for Saturday? Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know. I know that's all up in arms with people. But, again, the man has he's a legend. He's a living legend there at Penn State. Let the man coach his game Saturday and then just let that be, you know, his last reign of glory and let him go on out of there. What harm could he have done between last night and Saturday to get those boys, those young men, through through a game, which would have been his last game? Really? But the gentleman who saw it, who was the grad student at the time, he is still there, and there he is standing. I think that's just, I don't know. I could say a whole lot about that. But nevertheless, we're going on back over here at Twitter, and I have been following, Jeff Johnson, I feel like, is a pretty cool guy. Jeff Johnson, of course, we know Jeff Johnson from BET way back. But, of course, now he reports for MSNBC, and so he's having a conversation even up to 2 hours ago where one of our followers on Twitter was saying, why do you make excuses for someone that did the wrong thing in this case? The police should have been called first. Well, again, at the same time, in response to that, it was a question of whether to say, when he went to the athletic director before the authorities, well, who does that? And so I, of course, went back to reply and retweet to that conversation because obviously they did not do all their research. What I found out also by sitting listening at Brooke on CNN, she had one of her correspondents, of course, come on and share a story, and I was trying to catch it. I was rolling through the house. But that same respondent, that correspondent came back to share a story, and I Googled it, and I couldn't find that or an article on it. But an employee who worked at a mental hospital, she reported straight to the local police about suspicious child pornography at the workplace. They fired her because they said she did not come up the chain of command and she bypassed her chain of command. They fired her. But, of course, the thing is she has her moral compass in place. Well, okay, that's fine. She has a moral compass in place, but she's unemployed because she didn't go to her supervisor. She went to the police. Okay, what's the difference? Had she gone to her chain of authority and chain of command and the chain of command have not done anything, then where would she have been left? Well, you know, who's holding the ball here? And, you know, you give or take all of that. I just feel like, again, who you tell leaves you still a matter of what direction. Do you go up or do you go out? Do you go up your chain or do you go immediately out and let the police leave you as an anonymous party so they can come into the institution, into the workplace, or into the church, or whatever place you're at, and then let them say, we've had reports that, and these reports suspect such and such of an action. And we want you to be known about it and investigate it. I mean, good grief, where is the protection of those who just feel like those in authority above them should be able to make a decision without getting any backlash or retaliation or anything as I feel like is detrimental as firing? You know, really? This is something that we really need to address and look at, because for me, in the end, I'm looking at the Joe Paterno case. If you're on a campus, your authorities, especially contractual obligations also, which of course are going to be investigated, although he was a living legend and he ran Penn State, so they say, it's already known, they say that the buck stopped with him, no matter what, that football was higher than the university. True or not, nobody wants to even say that that was the case, but it was, and it's very obvious, it's been obvious for years, but they were saying that the buck could have stopped with him and that his word was gold, his word was bond, his word was word and law on that campus. But again, he does have authority. You look at the organizational chart, and a head coach and an athletic director and all these other people are not the president. And with that, he went to the president of the university and expected that they should have done something. Well, I said something about it on Facebook, of course, and I just want to know, how long is too long? Who's the person that's supposed to be the one to finally call the police? And what's the retaliation against that if you go the wrong direction? If that's the case, my mind goes back to, and again, like I said, I stated this again on Facebook. This reminds me, and this is my comment. It says, this is making me go back and forth in my head about why folks who keep hush-hush on domestic violence and other victimizing issues, I understand why they keep hush-hush, because this is exactly why they don't get involved or don't tell. Sorry, folks, but this is the same thing, whether it's regarding homosexual violent rape acts that we see and we walk past them, whether it's bullying in our schools with your child. Those children won't tell it because they don't know what's going to happen to them if they tell it. Same thing with gang violence. They're not going to tell it. That's why, you know, our movies, again, here we go, Hollywood and media exploiting the fact, and we sit back and support it and pay $10 and $12 for the movies. But if you tell it, you're in jeopardy. You're in jeopardy. That's why people don't tell. That's why people leave other people's lives. And we started this show out saying, it's about human life. Where is our human right to be our brother and our sister's keeper? But then the system, the legal system, kills us because we're trying to be the savior. So why say anything? Why not mind your business? I mean, I could go both ways on this, but at this point, you know, the sad part is, what example have we even given? And then we make examples of people because we feel like we want to make a change, and it gets them all the way through the legal system. And, you know, what happens in the legal system? You never know. And so with that, I just feel like the Joe Paterno situation at this point is just going really, I feel like it's going too far beyond who the actual victim is, if they ever come forward, and it's actually going beyond the person who, of course, again, was the predator, which was Coach Sandusky. You know, we're really, really, really putting a lot of weight on Joe Paterno, who told it, when you told it, who you told it to, and why didn't you do anything more about it? I mean, we've got to stay focused on the issue here, but, of course, it's too late now. It's out there in the media and jury and all, and the law and contracts and legal systems within the university. Policy and procedure is about to rule and reign. But again, they've already messed up in my eyes because they're letting the graduate student who saw it remain. And here today, he'll be there on that field coaching that team with the same, I feel like, the same weight of responsibility on his shoulders. So again, if you're live and in the chat room and on the air, on the phone lines, and you want to talk about it, press one. Press one, and we'll bring you right in. So let's see what they had to say on Facebook about that comment. And it says here, as an advocate, and this is Monica from North Carolina. She said, as an advocate for sexual violence, thank you so much for bringing that up. I know this is hard for many people to understand, but silence only perpetuates violence. Some have been held accountable. Of course, it depends on the state laws. Some states, they have statutes and limitations. There is so much miseducation on this topic. And she is an advocate with the North Carolina Coalition for Against Sexual Assault, and that's Monica in North Carolina. So we went back again, and one other comment let me share with you where I was saying that I'm torn and should Paterno have been able to at least finish his last game. Yvonne from Georgia, thank you, Yvonne, for following us along in the dialogue on Facebook, says, Shelley, you know I'm all for protecting kids. Since the president and him were dismissed, I wonder, was there cover-up on the upper level? Or did someone at Penn State just drop the ball? He reported as required by law. I'm not sure what the law in Pennsylvania states. But could he have fired this man without just cause? I'm kind of torn, too, because he has been treated like he, referring to Paterno, as if he did this to the children. And I agree, Yvonne, I certainly agree with you because, again, did he do what was required? Not just by law, we have to realize and understand, I think, and keep in the forefront that this was an institution. This educational institution also had contractual law and, of course, policy and procedure overarching through the university. So, again, did he do what was required by law? He did at least report it, but report it to what? What is his authority? What is his immediate line of authority? And so herein lies investigation, and it will do what it does. I just hope that justice is, of course, served, whatever that may be. And it's definitely a little foggy at this time. So with that, we want to look at let's go over here and let's check the chat room. Okay, thank you so much. The guests there in the chat room, they're unable to comment, but they are logging in and logging out. I see there because they are not registered in on Blog Talk Radio. But nevertheless, we're going to take another quick break. I'm going to check up on Twitter. Give me a second. Let's give where I can update my Twitter here and catch up on some of the conversations, and we'll be right back to close out the show. Back And again, thank you all so much for listening. This is the We Speak Radio Network, and I am your host, Shelley Caldwell. And we're here, we're just doing a quick off-the-cuff show tonight. Wanted to share a lot of the comment, the questions, the opinions on the latest topics of sexual harassment and sexual victims. And so we're going to move right on. We're in the last few minutes of the show, and I just wanted to, again, close out and say thank you to everyone following us on Twitter at We Speak Radio. Also, send your comments to the dialogue on Facebook there at We Speak Radio Network on our page. Tell your neighbor, tell your friends to join us, and we're excited about all of your support, even if you cannot join us live at any time during the week as we expand our show and our air times here on Blog Talk Radio. What we're going to do is still pull your comments from Facebook no matter when you put them up there. We'll share them anonymously, maybe your name and the state you're from, but not your last name, for your protection as well. So, again, I wanted to end the show with something that I thought was some advice that was worth repeating of everyone who loves Dr. Phil. I appreciate his advice, and he was on Anderson 360 last night. And in doing so, I was waiting for someone to come in with a little bit of sensible information, not necessarily just assumptions, presumptions. And he has two articles. If you get a chance, I would dare say that you need to go to drphil.com and look at his tab that says, the third tab from the left, it says Dr. Phil's Advice. And then go into his articles on parenting. In there, he came on live, of course, through Skype, and I went to his website. And he has a couple of articles I want to share. If you're listening to this on archive, it's drphil.com. Go into his Dr. Phil's Advice tab and then click on parenting. You're going to see number one, protect your children from internet pedophiles. It's an important article, and that article shares a couple of steps with us that we need to be aware of. And then also the article that says sexual predator warning signs. So let's go through those, and we're going to leave you with that advice from Dr. Phil. The one that says protect your children from internet pedophiles. A lot of us are very skeptical about the internet, our children being on Twitter. Of course, you have age restrictions, but they get on there and they lie about their birthday and they're on Facebook, which I don't think under 18 or 21 for that matter that they need to be on Facebook. But of course, they're 18 and 19, they're in college by that time. But of course, even on you know, the MySpace and the dating sites and so forth, there are so many pedophiles out there who are just predators. And it also talks about stranger danger. But with that, the stranger danger fact is that 10% of people who are listed, registered, convicted predators, 10% of them are strangers. The other 90% are people you know, you love, and you trust that are close in some type of mentoring relationship or capacity with your child and with your family for that matter. So you cannot hold yourself accountable for what you don't know. But I will say this, make sure you do the checks that you need to do. Even if it's someone who's a stranger and you're moving to a new city or state, you're checking your child into the YMCA, checking your child into a new school, go out and do the research that you need to do. However, what you need to remember is that people such as coaches, those who are over nonprofit organizations, they are not convicted, registered pedophiles because they haven't been caught. And so this is what you need to do. How do you protect your children from internet pedophiles? And let's start there, and then we'll go to the other one. It says, never leave your child in a room alone with a computer connected to the internet. Well, that's real hard to do, okay? But you're going to have to figure out how you limit their hours and their talk time, and also monitor and make sure that you set up all of the rules, the little internet rules, by checking chat room history, keeping that on. And if you see it erased, then you need to let them know that this needs to stay on so that I can keep track of that. Secondly, parents should educate themselves on basic computer knowledge. I agree. I tell my sister that all the time. Please educate yourself on basic computer knowledge. Make sure you know passwords and how to do exactly what I was saying. Go in and make sure that browser history is still there. Checking that cache and those cookies to find out the sites that your children have been visiting. Thirdly, locking certain computer sites does not work. What you do have to do is make sure that what you can filter, filter it, and if not, you need to filter their chat information because everything has a chat room now, a chat instant messenger that can be used. And very simply, one important point he says here, he says, just be aware. Can you just be aware of what's going on? Be aware if your child jumps on and off of the computer in when you enter the room, and or ask questions. Stop worrying about if you're going to embarrass them, make them feel bad, or get them upset. Ask questions. Lean over and look in closely, Dr. Field says, and I agree. With that, be aware of any pictures that's coming over. Never give out personal information. You know that. You need to reinforce that as well and make sure that your children do not upload a picture of themselves to the Internet that, of course, is something that you feel like is provocative or not worthy of being seen. Of course, you want to leave open lines of communication with your children and, again, be suspect of everything if it looks like your child is in trouble. Now, again, we're almost done here with the show. Go out to his website and make sure that you look at other tips on spotting a sexual predator. And if they know too much about your child's games, if they are constantly asking for too many outings with your child, if they're in the YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, whatever it is, be involved and communicate. Make sure that what you're saying it in a healthy way, and that you are making sure that your child understands that you are taking an important step to being concerned about their safety. We're done on the show. We're going to be here tomorrow night. We're going to be here at 6 o'clock. We're doing this for 1 hour, and we appreciate your support. Let's keep the Facebook dialogue going. I'm going to be out here talking about it. My face is going to be glued to the television. And we're going to be on Twitter tweeting out the dialogue and saying what we need to say. So we appreciate you all. Thank you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 7 on We Speak Radio Network. Talking about sexual harassment and sexual victims. Who can we trust? What should we do? Where is our moral compass pointing? And where are we actually being? Where are we being the keeper of our brothers, our sisters, and our children to make sure our families are protected? Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow night right here on We Speak Radio Network. Thank you for listening.